to Kaleidoscope EDU. My name is Emily Wong. I'm a second-generation Chinese-Canadian and first-generation teacher. Kaleidoscope EDU is dedicated to amplifying the voices of Canadian women of color teachers. I'm here, you're here, we are here. And teaching is a great gig. Come join us. Hi. This week I'm doing something a little different. I'm doing a solo episode. Luckily, when I started listening to podcasts, I started with people like Sam Laura Brown, Brooke Castillo, and Mylique Teal, who all share their ideas and lessons on personal development through their own experiences. So I feel fairly comfortable doing a solo episode. By the way, I'm going to mention a lot of people who have influenced me along the way. I've already had three right off the bat, so don't worry, everything will be in the show notes. In this episode, I'll be sharing my personal story, my journey in teaching, and I'll be explaining my interpretation of identity terms like person of color and how I think that affects my worldview. I hope this gives you a bit of insight into who I am and how I am approaching this idea of bringing my identity as a woman of color into my work as a teacher. So, first off, about me, I grew up in Ottawa. I was a student in the French Immersion program in the English Public School Board, so that's the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board, from kindergarten to grade 12. In terms of my identity, I have always considered myself Chinese-Canadian. So there are a lot of values that I have about my family and practices that my family does that I consider to be different from the dominant kind of British, French, European, or Canadian culture. But I also have a lot of values and practices that are more quote-unquote Canadian in that they fit with the dominant cultural ideas that I have grown up with in the school system and in the media, etc. For the sake of brevity, and because I think this is okay to do in when I'm doing it in a respectful way, or what I believe is respectful, I'm going to be using the term white to stand for British, French, European origin Canadians. For the duration of this episode, there are a lot of nuances associated with that, and I would encourage you to learn more if that is something that interests you. So growing up, I've always had more white friends than non-white friends. That has never been uncomfortable in itself. But I do recognize that I have experienced being teased because of my ethnicity, the way I look, or because of my name more than once in my life, and that it's not likely an experience that my white friends have had. It's the experience when people say, oh, where are you from? No, but where are you really from? I am second generation Canadian, meaning the second generation of people in my family who were born in Canada. So my parents were both born in Ottawa too and grew up in the same schools as I did. I have a Canadian accent, and so do my parents. I speak to my grandparents in a mix of English and Chinese that only we can understand. And I'm connected to the China of the 1940s and the 1950s, because that's when my grandparents were young and eventually they immigrated to Canada. So that's sort of me and my personal kind of identity as it relates to my ethnicity. So I'm going to talk about my journey into teaching in particular. I think I've always had some skill in explaining ideas to people in ways that I think they might understand. I have a very distinct memory of trying to teach my younger brother something by comparing it to his Yu-Gi-Oh cards, which were all the rage in the early 2000s. I started practicing karate when I was 8, and as I progressed through the ranks and the leadership program, I taught a lot of younger students during middle school and high school, and this was all on a volunteer basis. In high school, I really found my voice as well as a leader in the environmental club and choirs. So now, looking back, I've always enjoyed leadership and I've built a lot of skills over time, but I never considered teaching as a real career option until most of the way through my undergrad, after I had had a few work placements doing office jobs that just, they weren't a great fit. Not many people in my life actively encouraged me to go into teaching full-time, and I often attribute that to a few things. One issue I see is underrepresentation of people of color in the field. According to the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board Workforce Census Report, completed in 2010, 8% of respondents consider themselves to be visible minority persons, compared to 20% in Ottawa as a whole at the time. So 10% of respondents account for all respondents within the Caribbean, Latin, Central and South American, African, Arab, West Asian, South Asian, East and Southeast Asian, and Oceania ethnic origin families. For most of these ethnic categories, this percentage, this 10%, is lower than external levels in Ottawa. Another thing I see is this perception that it's difficult to get a job in teaching, which was definitely true in the past, but it's changing now. So that's kind of a sort of broader issue. And then a third point of hesitation, I think, is there's probably, you know, fear of the unknown and a value for stability in a career, which is certainly the case in my family and possibly also the case in many families of sort of relatively newer Canadians who might happen to also identify as people of color. So I've been using this term, people of color, a lot, person of color, and I'm going to explain what I mean. So I mean people who identify themselves as belonging to an ethnic group that is non-white. So that's the entire list that I gave earlier from the Workforce Census Report. People who identify as people of color have often experienced interactions with other people specifically because of their physical features that probably would not have happened had they been part of the dominant cultural or ethnic group. So I'll give an example from my practicum placement a few months ago. So I was teaching a lesson, I don't remember what, and a student opened the door to the classroom to deliver mail. And she said, "Oh, you're Chinese." I invite you to think about that and imagine who on your staff team might have similar interactions with students or other school community members and who might not. I want to share this to expand on how I am coming to these ideas about being a person of color. Everyone I've had the privilege of having this conversation with has had different experiences, and I am by no means an expert on any of this. These are really my views, and I welcome anyone who would like to take this conversation further. So I also identify as a woman, and from my understanding, that identity intersects with my ethnicity like a Venn diagram, right? They overlap. And these identities and how they play out in my profession and in my life are why I'm really committed to this podcast. There are so few women of color in teaching and in teacher education programs. I wish I had the numbers to back that up, and maybe that'll be something I do this summer, a little bit of digging. As I often wonder, where can I begin affecting change? I believe that by being more visible or more audible, I can help share the message that teaching is a valuable, viable career option, and that higher diversity of cultures and values can only enrich the experiences of students. And here's really where Voice Ed Radio comes in. I am so glad that the Voice Ed Radio community exists. This is where I got my start as a guest on a few different podcasts. So on Ed Mentors, for one, Shane Lawrence's The Ed Podcast, and Caroline Blahopoulos and her TC Squared. So around the Christmas break in 2018, I was chatting with Stephen Hurley, who's the founder of Voice Ed, and he said that there was room for my voice and my ideas on a more regular basis. So I thought about what might hold my attention for the long term. I promised myself at least 6 episodes. Oh, I'm more than halfway there, which is exciting. And I felt that there was a real need to address the diversity, equity, inclusion question in the teaching force, not just in the student population. So here we are. With the encouragement and support of experienced teachers like Chris Clough, Roland Chidiak, Ramona Maharg, and teacher candidates Hoda Ahmed, Fadu Mudiria, and Hannah Folds, I launched Kaleidoscope EDU during the second anniversary radiothon for Voice Ed in early 2019. I have already learned so much through this podcast. Most importantly, I have learned just how many assumptions I have about cultures and people and just the big wide world. And I'm learning to ask instead of assume. I know that I have the skills to ask in respectful ways, and please do tell me if I say something out of line. I am always willing to learn and discuss more. But since I have those skills, I really should use them and ask instead of assuming things. And the worst that can happen is that people say no. And when I'm lucky, they might turn their own no into an introduction to someone else. So thanks for sticking with me through the start of my podcast, and thanks for listening to this solo episode. I look forward to the next time when I'll be sharing stories with another woman of color teacher candidate from the University of Ottawa. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode, so please leave a comment on SoundCloud or send me a tweet at MSEMILYWONG. Thanks for listening to Kaleidoscope EDU. We are here and we are amplifying the voices of Canadian women of color teachers. Cheers.